Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
SpringFest means more sun, more fun, and more free at Lowe's. Keep your yard in line with an additional free Ego 56-volt battery when you buy a select Ego mower, trimmer, or blower. Plus, keep landscaping fresh with Stay-Green 1-cubic-foot garden soil, 5 bags for $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4A. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
People would say to me, hey, Eli, like, public transit's cool. I take it in Europe. I take it in New York.
Yes. Love it.
I love it. I love it when I travel. But, you know, like, it just doesn't go to where I need to go. And I'd be like, yeah, you know, like, we're building the system. Like, it'll get there.
Yeah.
And then I realized that we actually have a pretty incredible system. When people come here, they're like, actually, it's pretty great. The bus system's great. The rail system is great. We still have more to build.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about that. And we will be building it for decades to come. But it's a culture issue now.
Yo, welcome to another episode of In a Minute with Evan Lovett, coming to you live from the I Am Studios in the heart of Los Angeles. And today, I am here to discuss a very important topic with a very special guest. This is Eli Lippman, the executive director of Move LA. And now Move LA builds coalitions to support affordable, equitable, sustainable, and connected Los Angeles County. But the part we're going to focus on today is the connected, as in public transit.
Yes,
because
sir.
Eli is a true, honest to goodness advocate of expanding our public transit and making LA more connected and accessible and easy to reach in all parts of the county. So first of all, Eli, thank you for being here. Appreciate you making the trek. And
thanks for having
me,
my
friend. Thanks for coming on, man. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Eli and I met, we actually met at a Palms Middle School career day, but we've been in touch. We have some mutual friends. And as you know, I am a big car advocate.
Yes.
I support public transit.
I should have brought my boxing gloves, right?
I like it, but we have, it's a tough thing to figure out in Los Angeles. So we're going to try to untangle it. We're going to try to look at the roadmap, pun intended, and see where we could go. First and foremost, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Ardo Brick. manufacturing fantastic historical bricks and tile in Gardena, California. In Gardena, dozens of people employed. They say you can't manufacture in Los Angeles. Well, Armin is a third generation LA American dream story making it happen. And they fabricate bricks and tile for places like Alvera Street, Plaza de Cultura y Artes, USC, Mariachi Plaza, Vallarta, Ojai Valley Inn. So many beautiful and historic places by hand down in Gardena. So thank you, Arto Brick.
Awesome.
And thank you, Eli, for being here. So this is a long time coming, man.
Here in the valley, making it happen.
Here in the valley. That is true. Now, let's talk about this first and foremost. I want to know, what is Move LA? Let's just start there and establish that. That is your organization.
So, yeah. So Move LA, as you said, we are a nonprofit. We are an advocacy organization, 18 years. And the lore is that my colleague, Denny Zane, who founded it, former mayor of Santa Monica, you will immediately recognize him because he's responsible for those dinosaur topiaries and in Santa Monica and the really redoing the Third Street Promenade.
Big dinosaur guy here, by the way. My TikTok feed has a lot of dinosaur content.
Oh, it's all about the dinosaurs.
Okay, go on,
And he was stuck on Pico Boulevard going east one day about 19 years ago in the afternoon. And he was like, what the fuck is all this traffic? Where did this come from? And he's listening to the radio and they're saying, you know, Metro has a plan, a 40-year plan to construct all this stuff, but they have $0. And he's like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So he got together business community leaders, labor community leaders, and environmentalists. And, you know, he says that, you know, he invited 35 people, 34 showed up, and he knew that there was something there.
Right.
And that kicked off this conversation in LA about which led to Measure R, which was the first half-cent sales tax in 2008, in the middle of a recession that passed by 68% of votes, that started this revolution on public transportation. And, you know, I mean, I love your content.
Appreciate that.
But you know, What I want to really get into with you.
Yeah.
And I want to talk too about my history in the valley and with cars.
Yeah.
But like, here's the question. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Right. You have a great video where you're like, we had in LA more rail in the teens and 20s than New York does today.
Mass transit capital of the world. Los Angeles is the public transit capital of the world.
So here,
for about 20 years.
Here's the thing. And then, but we flipped, right? We became car culture. We came, this is where people came for a single family home, two car garage, and you know, and we built all these freeways. Who's to say that we can't be something different in the future, right? Who's to say that we can have both, right? And that's the conversation. So I'm not an anti like car person.
Right. And I know that. And that's why I appreciate
I drive
the conversations with you that we've had. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and it's not about being anti-car or anti-public transit, because we do need it and it's equitable and it's accessibility and they're important issues. Here, I guess, is my main point. I don't want to jump into this right away, but here's the truth, right? When you're talking somebody who lives in Bell Canyon or Porter Ranch that commutes every day to work, whether it's downtown, Long Beach, Montebello, I mean, all this city is, or
is
the county in this case, you can't, you're not going to undo the freeways. So
of
like
course.
You said, they have to work in concert and unison.
Yeah.
And I understand there's progress being made and there's new lines and new extensions being built. And that's great. But this plan, I mean, you're going to have to cover so much of the county to make it accessible. And here's a big point that I have is even for me, and I live in Studio City and I take the train. When I take the train, I mentioned this before, it's somewhat of a novelty or something like the Dodger World Series parade, LAFC game.
I went to that.
Things
that was
like
fun.
That. Oh, it's incredible.
So
LAFC game. But I need to drive to go take the train, right? And once I'm in my car, I don't want to do this multimodal thing, as they call it, right? And it's tough. And so first and foremost, the frequency or the how many trains and stations are need to be so close, like New York or these other cities with great public transit, that you could just walk there.
Yeah.
And in LA, you can't be like, well, it's 2.5 miles, which isn't a terrible walk. But if I'm going to work or I'm commuting somewhere, you don't have to want to build that time. And so let's start there. Yeah.
100%. So, you know, and so when we developed Measure R, when Measure R was being developed, the idea was not we were just going to invest in like one mode. It wasn't just going to be all buses, right? Or all trains. Like there's money for construction. There's money for operations. There's money for maintenance, but there's money for highways and roadways as well. Okay. And a big portion of that is local return, meaning fixing monies to each individual city and county right. So that they can fix streets as well. Because we realize that you can't neglect our freeway system.
Correct.
You can't neglect our roads because not only do cars use roads, but buses use roads and bikes use roads as well. Right. So we thought about it as a comprehensive, product, if you think about it, when we did the sales tax, because we wanted to support all of these. Now, to your point, I agree with you, right? Sometimes you're just going to get in the car and you're just going to go.
Right.
But there are certain places in Los Angeles where it fucking sucks to be driving a car.
Absolutely.
The parking is expensive or you're going around the block
Correct.
Or the traffic is just horrible. So I don't drive in downtown anymore, LA.
Okay.
What if I'm going to downtown LA, I will park at my office, which is in the Arts District, you know, or I'll take transit and then I'll just take Metro bike share all around downtown, or I'll take a scooter, or I'll take the multiple transit lines.
Right.
I save time. I get there on time.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with parking. I don't have to deal with traffic. And so it's not necessarily that like here's the thing. So we have the second highest ridership in the country now.
Impressive.
It's impressive. Yeah. But all I'm suggesting, and we have to hit these goals in the state, right? You know, by 2030, we have to reduce our every mile that we travel on average by 25%, which is kind of insane if you think about that. It's impossible. But here's the thing. If you took one of your trips per day, or if you said one day of the week, I'm going to leave my car at home and walk to the office, and everybody did that, that's it. It's sort of like we want like a meatless Monday, but like a transit Tuesday.
See,
right?
That's a fair approach.
And we're not saying get rid of your car.
Yeah.
We're just saying use it less.
I think that's important to understand. And shout out to my wife because she's been encouraging us as a family to walk a lot more. Anything local, we do walk. And by the way, I do walk to the studio every day, but it's like 0.1 miles. So it's not like I'm doing this huge trek, but it's good.
Like, I mean, in a place, and we got to talk about the culture where people joke about like, you know, that you drive to the gym and you valet your car and then you work out.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you do that, you know, is, and I used to live, right next to VNSO Park.
Right.
On the same block as my office. And then I would walk to the office as well. Right. And just that simple act of like taking one trip out of your day. That's doing the work.
Now, is Move LA promoting this messaging, by the way? Because I think that is effective, where it's like, just look for one trip here and there or a short trip that you're doing. Like you said, the gym, the office, little errands, UPS store, something like that, that you can walk to. I don't see that message out there that often.
Well,
I
almost small nonprofit, but no, we're working on it. And that's where I'm trying to like shift the culture.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it this way. That's why I wanted to talk to you, right?
Yeah.
Is I know your listenership. I know how you feel about this stuff.
Right.
But like, take a second. Like, if you can take a second in your mind and be like, what is the shittiest commute or drive of my day?
Right.
And for me, it's actually when I take my kid to soccer practice.
Right.
Six blocks away.
Yeah.
On La Brea at Rancho Cienega, right? And I got to cross over Expo and Jefferson where the train is. And it will take 20 minutes if I drive. But if I put my kid on the back of my bike.
Yeah. E-bike. You have an e-bike?
I have an e-bike. I put him on the back like Michael. It takes 5 minutes.
Michael Schneider.
Shout out.
Friend of the show, but also friendly adversary.
Hey, there we go.
Hi, Michael. Streets.
But like that and the parking sucks at the because everybody's going to soccer practice and back.
No bones about it. Driving in LA has a lot of pratfalls, okay?
Yeah.
Like nobody likes traffic. Last time I was in San Pedro, it took me 2+ hours to get back to the valley, right? But that's
brutal.
But that said, I was like, what would have been my public transit option though? It wouldn't have been much better.
Yeah.
And in fact, reverse, when I used to live in Valley Village and had to commute to El Segundo, one day I was sick of the hour 10 commute And I looked into, okay, how long is it going to take to, with two transfers?
2.5 hours.
It would have been twice as long.
All right.
So we're starting from a place of like, man, you're really building from the ground up.
Yeah.
Even though we 100%, have 100%.
100%. 100%. But, you know, so what I'm suggesting to everyone is like, just look at the thing that pisses you off the most about driving. Okay. Like that one. And is there a way that you can rethink that trip? Right? Like I did with like biking my kid to soccer practice. Way better. I get to get him there on time. I don't have to battle everyone. I can literally, like, I take the e-bike and I literally go on the field and I just put him there. It's great. But here's the other thing that's going to blow your freaking mind.
Okay.
All right. So the travel time, 100%, I get it.
Yeah.
Some of those trips are not going to work.
Yeah.
We are about to open, or not we, Metro. I don't work for Metro. I want to make that very clear.
Right.
We helped to get all the funding for Metro. Measure R and Measure M, $120 billion over 40 years, the largest infrastructure project in the entire
Measure
country.
Measure M was passed in 2016.
Right?
Explain that real quick, because that was an important part of Move LA
so,
as well.
Yeah, so we've done several ballot measures, Measure R and M. M was, we actually did Measure J, which was 2012.
Okay.
It was all it would have done was extend Measure R from 30 years to 60 years.
Right.
Same sales tax. We had very little money.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big campaign. They actually declared us victorious on election night.
Yeah.
But we actually lost by 15,000 votes in a county of 10 million people. Right.
Thin,
so, but we knew that we had like this group, this majority of Angelinos who were like, yeah, we want to invest in public transportation,
right,
which is huge. So we went back with Measure M, and Measure M was completely different. It was visionary. It was, you know what? We can do crazy stuff like build a subway from the Valley to the West Side.
Ooh,
right?
Okay, right.
And we increased the sales tax by another 0.5%. So a 1%
right,
in perpetuity, right? Okay. Which is smart because you're going to have to run a transportation system forever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that passed by over 70% of voters, a huge
so people
mandate.
People want it, at least voters
want it.
Okay.
And we've done other ballot measures. We won in 2022 with Measure ULA, the mansion tax.
Yeah.
And HLA in 2024 for safer streets with Michael Schneider.
Right, right.
And then we worked in 2024 as well to pass Measure A, the countywide ballot measure on affordable housing and homelessness services. So we've done, we actually, to date, our measures, the measures that we wrote and worked and passed, raised $4 billion in public infrastructure for the entire county every single year.
$4 billion per year?
Yeah, which means more jobs in LA.
Do that math.
It's a lot of dough, but it means that we get better infrastructure here, that we get to support.
Okay.
You know,
so tell us, what are we seeing out of that right now? Tell me some of the big accomplishments, ballot measures. And I know you guys are, I don't want to call it an advocacy group, but you're not out there with shovels and building and everything.
No, we don't do that.
So tell me the accomplishments besides passing
measures. We show up at meetings and we push for
what can people see
100%.
That is so, been built and been accomplished?
Last year, around July, we opened up, or Metro opened up, a nearly $1 billion transit center at LAX.
Okay.
Connected two lines, the C and the K line, something like 14 or 16 bus bays.
Right.
It's huge. It's 11 football fields wide.
Right.
It's incredible. I don't know if
this is where the People Mover is going to emanate from.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to, it's scheduled to, the People Mover that's supposed to open in 22, 24,
I have
25. Hopefully 26.
I have issues with that project. Okay. That was not a Metro project.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the LAX.
Yes.
Okay.
The transit center is incredible.
Yeah.
It rivals any station that you will find in New York, in Singapore, in China, in Japan, in Europe.
It's a big statement.
It's really
some very significant.
But you see it, and it's huge. It's soaring. Like, it's impressive. It shows that like we're a real world class city,
right.
And that's why, you know, I had a very like conservative friend, never votes for sales tax. He said, Eli, I will vote for your sales tax measure, Measure M.
Yeah.
Because if you look around the world, there's no world class city without a good public transportation system.
Correct.
And so that's the vision. So that's one that's opened.
Yeah.
The other one that is about to open, we're going to have a subway to Beverly Hills. It's going to open the next couple
of
weeks.
All that construction and everything.
It's happening.
Going down there.
It's ready. They're just testing it. It will be open. That means you can get from Beverly Hills to downtown faster. I'd like to say faster than you can in a car at 3 a.m. when you get all the green lights. Like, it just will be time competitive.
Well, let me ask you this, though, and I don't want to discriminate, but Beverly Hills residents don't necessarily strike me as the type that are need or going to use public transit. So why not build and spend that money in areas where perhaps there's a greater need?
So great question. Yeah. And there are many Beverly Hills residents. So one of my board members, former mayor of Beverly Hills in the 90s. And was fighting for years to get a train to Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
He's in his 80s. He's tickled pink. He's just so excited about it. So there are Beverly Hills residents who love it. But here's the thing is like, just we fight a lot for bus shelters.
Yeah.
Because it gets freaking hot here in the valley.
Big bus shelter movement recently. I covered that.
Yeah. So that was from our advocacy work.
Really?
Yeah. We fought because that's an equity issue. And we actually did a study to look at where all the bus shelters were.
Yeah.
And you know how many bus shelters there are in Beverly Hills?
How many?
One. And it's historic. It was like grandfathered in because it's on a historic, where the red car used to be. And people were like, well, who cares? Yeah. And Bell had the best number, by the way.
Yeah.
Love Bell. 90%. 90% of their bus stops had bus shelters.
That's great.
But think about it. Where is the resident of Bell who might be a line cook, might be a janitor, might be, you know, somebody who works in a home, a gardener or, you know, a maid?
Right.
Where are they going to go? Beverly Hills. So you need a stop and a station and a bus shelter and Bell, but you also need one in Beverly Hills. Right. And so it goes two ways. So it's not necessarily the residents. I mean, it's great. I want the residents to go downtown and take the train.
Yeah.
But it's about the workers. It's about the folks who are working at the hotels and at the stores and at the restaurants and ensuring that all the things, the grocery stores that you need, they can get to where they're going.
So here's my question. So that took years and billions to build and complete. But now we got to go, Downey, Montebello, Torrance, Wilmington, Northridge. I mean, you got Dilmar, San Fernando. You got to cover all these areas.
Let's talk Van Nuys to Westwood. So what's the worst freeway in the country?
405 is the most
notorious. Love the 405.
Absolutely.
And I used to, look, I mean, I grew up in Bermuda.
Yeah.
My dad's a climate scientist.
Yeah.
I went to school in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Met my wife. She's from half Mexican.
Yeah.
Half from the United States.
Yeah.
Los Angeles. Well, actually full 100% Mexican.
Right.
And Guatemalan. But she was like, hey, come out here. There's palm trees here. You can work from my dad. My father-in-law actually had a maquiladoro on the border.
Yeah.
He did aftermarket wheels for cars.
Okay.
He got a car every 3 years.
Yeah.
Brand new car. He had a collection of over 20 classic cars.
Yeah.
That I used to drive around.
There you go.
I one time totally, well, it wasn't my fault, but I was driving his 64 and a half convertible Mustang in the hills with my beautiful partner.
Yeah.
And the entire electrical system completely just burnt out on the top of the hill. I'm freaking out. I think my father-in-law is going to
kill you.
Yeah. You know, he's like, I've got a shotgun and a shovel.
Right.
You touch my daughter in my cars, you're dead.
Right.
God bless him. He's passed away at this point.
Yeah.
Turns out that the mechanic that worked on it screwed it up. So I was saved from being killed by my father for ruining his classic car.
Yeah.
So like I grew up in that. My first car that I bought was here in the Valley on Van Nuys Boulevard, Mazda 3.
Okay.
So, you know, I grew
you
up
get it.
Around
you, you
that.
Get yeah, the yeah, car yeah. culture and you get, but 100%. Still, again, now you're on the, I don't want to say other side because I want to pick sides. The only side here is pro Los Angeles and everybody's working for a better future for Los Angeles. But again, it just seems to me like a, what's the word? Sisyphean?
Sisyphean, yeah.
Right? That's
pushing, the guy pushing the rock over there, right?
Where I'm just like,
we'll have to Google that and try to double check, right?
Back to where we were even close to just the access throughout the county. I mean, again, I don't want to keep harping on it, but I always come back to that. How will it get it done? Billions of dollars per year with the measures are, M. What was the other one? What was the 2012 one?
J. Yeah.
J. Which,
that one didn't pass. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So R and M passed. Yeah. So all this money, all these things. And we're saying, okay, yay, Beverly Hills. And like, yeah, Van Nuys. And that one is important. That one I know is important, is going to be heavily utilized.
Yeah.
But it's going to need to keep going.
So my point on that was like, I spent hours of my life, days of my life on the 405 and going through Beverly Glen.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I used to have an office in the West Side and it was great. You know, I drive my Mazda 3 down Rodeo Drive cause it was like the fastest way. And I'd be like, hey, celebs. And they'd be like, who's this dude?
Right. Right.
Just the dude of the Mazda 3. Oh, cool. We're going to, just literally on Friday, Metro came out with a plan.
Yeah.
They're going to put a train, a heavy rail from Van Nuys G line, the orange line, to the D line, the purple line in Westwood.
Okay.
And it's going to take, it's underground. There'll be a stop at UCLA. There'll be a stop at Van Nuys and Ventura. There'll be a stop at the G line. Yeah. 10 minutes.
Is this different than the Sepulveda Transit Corridor?
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
10 minutes. You got to be more excited. That. No, that is the Sepulveda Transit Corridor.
Okay. So is
that? They're moving it east to Van Nuys.
Wait, so what happened on that? Wait, so Sepulveda Transit Corridor
is technically not the...
Because that was going to be a battle. That was a tremendous battle. So Sepulveda Transit Corridor, I reported on that.
You did a good job.
Some good info. And there were like six different options.
I was teasing you on
One was a monorail. Mm-hmm. We all remember the Simpsons infamous monorail episode.
That one's dead now, it looks like.
But if the whole Sepulveda Transit Corridor project is dead?
No. That is the plan now. So they're just moving it east.
On Van Nuys.
It'll be under Van Nuys. And
why was that decision made? And that wasn't even an option when we... Even one of them.
A couple of reasons.
And how they make that decision that fast?
I'll be on today, and I don't know when this will be published, but right now the vote's on Wednesday, and then they'll have another one the following week.
No.
So it's not a done deal, but you know, what they had proposed originally was problematic for a couple of reasons. The Sherman Oaks homeowners were very opposed to having it elevated at Sepulveda.
Powerful, powerful homeowner group I've ever heard of.
So this solves that issue.
Okay.
Bel Air folks were very opposed to it as well.
So much opposition.
But there was also, this is interesting, LADWP also was really not happy with it. For two reasons. One, they wanted to use a DWP yard for the maintenance yard. And they were like, wait a second, that's our yard.
Wow.
And then the other was, it was going to go under Stone Canyon Creek.
Okay.
And they were concerned about the impact on that. So by moving it further east, not only do you create like a straighter shot, that actually, like, Van Nuys actually has a lot more density than Sepulveda in some ways.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of single family homes off of Sepulveda. So, except for like Ventura and Sepulveda, but like, there's a lot more density there. So there's more opportunity for like increasing the density. You're also going to have the light rail line.
Wow.
That's going to go to the G line as well. That connects up to the Northeast Valley. So you kind of have like a local and then kind of an express.
Yes.
And then it's like a straight shot to UCLA. So you don't have to like, when they do the tunnel, they don't have to like curve it as much. So it's actually a lot faster to construct, less expensive.
Why didn't they think of that in the first place? Why wasn't that?
This is what happened. I mean, this is what is great about the way that we plan these things.
Yeah.
Is like, we have these big debates and discussions. They had like 8,000 or 9,000 public comments.
Yeah.
Dozens of meetings.
So much debate.
And then they're
active.
And then somebody was like, well, if we move it to Van Nuys, we solve a number of issues and we potentially make the service a lot better.
Testing season is right around the corner. And this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests. Proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
SpringFest means more sun, more fun, and more free at Lowe's. Keep your yard in line with an additional free EGO 56-volt battery when you buy a select EGO mower, trimmer, or blower. Plus, keep landscaping fresh with Stay-Green 1 cubic foot garden soil, 5 bags for $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4-8 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so here's something about that sort of sticks in my craw. And I'm not this guy, but I know that I get a lot of this feedback is billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Sales tax.
Yeah.
Turns into bureaucracy.
You're a good governance guy.
I'm pro-government, pro-LA.
Yeah.
But like all this time, effort, resources went into this Sepulveda Transit Corridor and it became a buzzword and phrase that people are talking about. And then all of a sudden, now we're like, oh no, we're just moving over to Van Nuys. So where was all the money and effort and investment up to that point? Like, how much was wasted? It wasn't going, how much money was spent working on that? And again, I know it's your issue, but I think that that's a thing that when people see this sales tax and see these measures, I mean, how do you sort of rectify that when people are like, government?
Did you hear me when I said 10 minutes from the G line to the D line?
No. And it does seem like a better idea. By the way, for the record, it does seem like a better idea.
But here's the thing. So I used to work in the Valley for a member of Congress out here.
Yeah.
And one of the first press events that I went to was when they announced that they had the money to add those two lanes on the 405. And I stood with the governor, Schwarzenegger, on the off ramp at Sepulveda, as a young staffer, excited about this big announcement. Oh man, that transition from the four. Remember how bad it was? You had to, people were like crazy. They would weave in and out.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to fix it all.
Right.
Billions of dollars later, years of construction later.
Well, it didn't work at first and they had to redo
it. And 6 months into it, the traffic was worse than it was before and the carpool lanes don't work.
What do you mean don't work?
Like they're not getting you there faster.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up because the carpool lanes, it was sort of like an if you build it, they will come, Field of Dreams reference situation.
So all of the research shows that just adding another lane, actually people are like, oh, there's another lane on the 405. I'm going to now take the 405 instead of Coldwater or Beverly Glen.
Right.
And then all of a sudden there's more cars.
Traffic,
So it's called, there's a technical term called induced demand. Yes. So we cannot construct our way out of this traffic crisis that we are in.
Right, right.
And that you add on to that the other crisis that we're in right now, which is we have more traffic fatalities than homicides in the city of Los Angeles.
I've been reporting on
and that's why we've been supportive of all this active transportation infrastructure. Now we can talk about that and I can talk about like how we can put it in the LA River. But the point being is we've got to invest in an alternative.
Right.
And that's going back to LAX, that is my big frustration with that project.
Tell me about that real quick.
So we were promised that we would have transit to LAX.
Yep.
And LAX was like, Metro was like, hey, you know, we can build it all the way in. And LAX was like, no, we've got this.
Yeah.
They don't got it. And it's embarrassing to the city that we are going to fail at the World Cup because we won't have a people mover. And so it's now that the expectation to open is after the World Cup. And there's really no open date. It's over $1 billion and 3 years late. And it is a people mover that I say that doesn't move people. And that's a problem. And so that has to be fixed. And our frustration is now they've decided to build a freeway into an on-ramp freeway into the horseshoe.
Saw that.
For $1.5 billion.
Saw that. Yeah.
So
Westchester.
We're saying like, okay, like, you know, okay, you want to, it's like the 405 all over again. You build these lanes, people are like, great, I'll drive, and you don't have an alternative. So we're saying take a pause on that project.
Right.
Get this thing launched. Like, we need the people mover now. Like, everything at LAX should be focused on that.
Right.
Sadly, they're focused on building this freeway project. They just demolished Terminal 5 and they're building that. They've got to finish this project. Otherwise, it is embarrassing for our region because we all know how horrible the horseshoe is.
Horseshoe is terrible. And
I
had a whole episode denigrating.
And you can't, we built a second layer, right? Yeah. During the last Olympics. Oh, that's going to solve it. No, it made it worse. So what are we going to do? Build a third layer? No, the only option is, we need to get more people out of their cars there.
Well, so let's backtrack and discuss.
Yeah.
So car culture, LA is the home of car culture, the center of car culture, cities built around the car.
Yeah.
People love driving. You'll rip their car, they're cold dead hands, you know? So how do you not fight, but how do you advocate against that ethos and that history? And listen, I was just at the Peterson Automotive Museum with my son.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, I'm not even a huge like car guy, but it's a magical, amazing place.
It is.
But all that, so much low rider culture, all that comes from Los Angeles and is to many people what Los Angeles is about. And I get the one trip and mass transit or public transit Tuesday, great ideas, but ultimately, you're going to need to shift the culture. And that is
100%.
A huge burden and statement. Yeah.
I used to, you know, people would say to me, hey, Eli, like, public transit's cool. I take it in Europe. I take it in New York.
Love it.
I love it when I travel. But, you know, like, it just doesn't go to where I need to go. And I'd be like, yeah, you know, like, we're building the system. Like, it'll get there.
Yeah.
And then I realized that we actually have a pretty incredible system. When people come here, they're like, actually, it's pretty great. The bus system's great. The rail system is great. We still have more to build.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about that. And we will be building it for decades to come. But it's a culture issue now.
Correct.
And you hit the nail on the head. So you can build the infrastructure, but if people are like, yeah, I'm just going to keep driving, it doesn't matter. So we have to shift the culture. And so that's, you know, why I've been promoting this idea. All right, Transit Tuesday. But also, we're in fucking Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, we can, you know, what do you know when you lose a job, what happens? You get on the bus.
Okay.
Right. You're sad. That's created by Hollywood, or it's, you know, or it's some guy, you know, in speed going, you know, jumping buses off of freeways. Right.
Okay.
So I've been like working, and we actually have been working with a group called Hollywood Climate Summit to like increase the amount of messaging in Hollywood and like pitch positive stories.
Like a superhero who takes the bus and
transit. Exactly. And you know, and I was just talking with your producer about like Trekkies that love transit and Trekkies.
Shout out to Gloria, everybody.
Hell yeah, Gloria. Woo! And love your sweater. So it turns out that George Takei was on the Metro board when it's called the RTD board, like 40 years ago, and made like a critical vote for the One Gateway, which is like the headquarters and the Wilshire line.
Yeah.
And he's loved it. He's loved it ever since. He's been a big proponent of it. Then Will Wheaton, who is on
bigger name.
Bigger name. Big Bang Theory, Wesley Crusher. He was the MC for the opening of the A line. I'm like, I got to meet him. Coolest dude ever.
This is good. This is important. Ed Begley. Yeah. Let's give a shout out.
Ed Begley has been talking about it for decades.
Proud Valley guy.
Proud Valley guy, a luminary in the industry, takes the train, the red line every year to the Oscars. and like even hoofs it from one station over because they closed down that station.
And by the way, Pioneer, I just learned this today, but I got to drop the fact, Pioneer of the clean air / green movement.
Oh, hell yeah.
Had an electric vehicle. Ed Begley had an electric vehicle in 1970.
We love Ed Begley.
That is impressive.
And his daughter Hayden is like a huge TikTok star.
Okay.
And she talks about transit all the time.
So you
Ed took her keys away from her for like a week and she just rode transit.
I mean, look, so pushing the culture is a big thing, but telling people what to do doesn't fly.
You got to make it cool.
Yeah.
You got to make it fun. You got to make it safe.
Yeah.
That's really key. And it's not just the actual safety, but the perception of safety.
Right.
And that's vital. And that's what we've been really focused on as advocates.
Here are two areas that I've seen at work and I've seen crowded trains and I've seen people utilize it for commuting. Is
Dodger Parade.
The Dodger Parade, but that's a one. Listen, hopefully we have a Dodger Parade every year.
Of course we will.
But
you're here first.
Okay. I mean, consistently my sister-in-law and brother-in-law live in West Adams, right?
Yeah.
So that line over there that goes to Exposition Park.
Yeah.
We ride that and we see that being utilized.
Yeah.
We see that an important aspect of the community that people are using it for 100%. Commuting, for fun,
like
to go to the museums, to go to the games, to go
great.
To work. And then also when I go down to Crenshaw, Doolin's, anywhere like that, I see that that line's being utilized. So I know it can work and I know there are areas where people are utilizing it. It's vital. It is. But it comes down to people in other neighborhoods that are used to driving, making the conscious decision to either switch or teaching the up and coming generations that it's going to be less expensive. You know, having a car is no joke in LA.
Dude.
Car payments, insurance is friggin' nuts. I just got my new rates for this year.
It's insane.
Again, like you said, parking traffic. So there are reasons that mass transit, public transit is vital, right? And for people who don't have access to driving a car, of course, but it's just.
And bike and walking too.
Such a huge proposition. So give me this is what I want to look at.
So, give me
the vision
for
Move LA of, let's call it 2046 or 2056
Well,
in Los Angeles.
First of all, my goal, and I put it out there now and I have it with Metro, I think we can double our ridership to 2 million riders per day.
Okay.
In LA County by 2035.
Wow.
So in a decade.
Say 2036. Let's go 10 years.
So how did... Okay. All right.
We're
2026.
Give me an extra year.
Thank you.
Right.
No, but that's like, I'm advocating for that. I'm going to push on that. And how do we do that? Like I believe that we have lost at least a generation or two who, look, that's just what they do. They're getting in their car and they know what their commute is. They know where they're going. They know their neighborhood and that's just what they do.
Correct.
And their perception is at a meeting just this weekend in West Adams about a bus lane on La Brea. And somebody's like, look, like I'm going to get stabbed on a bus.
That's my next comment.
Right. I'm going to drive. I'm going to tell my kids to drive. But there is a new generation. This is why we focused. We have we fought for 10 years to do a student transit pass program so that every student in LA County has the opportunity to ride for free on transit. And that is how you create the next generation of transit riders. You're like, hey, check out the bus. It's cool. And even if they get a car at some point, at least they know how to navigate the system.
True.
And even if they wait a couple of years, like five extra years means that fewer cars on the road, that fewer traffic fatalities, and that less greenhouse gas emissions, right, from climate change.
Let's talk about the safety because that does come up every time I bring it up is riding the train, riding 100%. The bus, dangerous. And I know that narrative is a little bit blown out of proportion, but the narrative is something that we're all fighting every day in so many walks of life, and that absolutely exists.
I mean,
public transit in LA.
100%. Look, and it is a public space.
Right.
My car just got broken into the other night, right? Like, your house got broken into, right? I mean, crime happens. And sadly, like, when it happens in a transit space, it's a bigger story. And then there was, sadly, like about 2 years ago, a year and a half, like just a spate of these happening all at once on the bus. And that changes people's perceptions. And they say, no, I'm not going to do that. And it was bad. Frankly, after the pandemic, people just gave up on law. It was just kind of a little anarchy.
Yeah.
But the ambassador. So Metro launched a program a couple of years ago.
Yeah, safety ambassadors. Yeah. Right?
And they have been incredibly effective. They're expanding that program. Crime is way, way down. If you look on it at, on either a per capita basis,
yeah,
like the number of trips taken, or if you even look at it at the number, and this is what we talk about a lot, is like the incidents that just happen either walking down the street.
Correct.
Or driving your car. I mean, that's really freaking dangerous, yeah. Right? Yeah. The number of accidents, we have 10 people that die every single day in the state of California from traffic fatalities. 10 people every single day. And it's the leading cause of death for young people in LA County.
Wow.
Right? Like more than all these other, you know,
yeah, it's a big fear when you're, so, I don't know how old your children are, but you know, we always think about when our son's getting his driver's license, we're like, fuck, we don't want him to drive. And we definitely don't want him in the car with other kids.
You're anxious about that.
Yeah. Right, so of course, so I mean, that's a fact.
I mean, yes, there are certain lines that are more dangerous than others. There are certain times of day when you are more, that it's more likely.
Right.
Right. And you need to be more defensive and you need to think about that. And that's the decisions that Angelinos need to make. But, you know, I will sometimes just be riding the train and be like, this is great. Everybody's calm. Everybody's chill.
Yeah.
I'll be on the Metro. You know, they'll be talking about safety on the Metro board because I'm always calling them the Metro board.
Right.
And be like, hey, I'm on the train right now. And like, everybody's having a great experience. And you're having 999,000 of those experiences every single day.
Yeah.
But like 1%, if 1% of riders are having, could have a bad experience. And that's a lot of people, but if you look at the million rides a day, that's pretty darn good.
And somehow the narrative becomes more magnified when it's on public transit than something in the street.
I think so. I mean, it's just like airplane, you know, it crashes, right? Like that's a huge media event, but
correct.
You know, there are 10, as I said, 10 people die on average every single day in California, and it's not a news story at all, so.
Okay, topic that always comes up, and again, harkening back to Michael Schneider, I want to talk about bike lanes for a second.
Okay.
Where's Move LA as far as in relation to HLA or just in general, the bike lanes? And one thing I want to say and how to frame this is a perfect example. We drive through Griffith Park when I'm taking my son home every day. And on, I believe it's Forest Lawn Drive.
Yeah.
It might be Forest Lawn, might be Griffith Park. But there's this weird bike lane situation where you have the lanes and then the bike lane and then another lane. And they both like curve and twist. Yeah. And then there's the bollards. And I'm like, A, there's not that many bike or any bike riders. I'm not, I know people ride their bikes, but, it's tough to navigate and confusing and also seems dangerous for bike riders because cars now need to cross the bike lanes to get into other car lanes. So they are being implemented, but I'm like,
Fourth line needs to be fixed.
Makes sense, but there's more. It's not just that one. That's just the Culver City, great one too. Yeah, but
I live really near Culver City.
So talk to me about bike lanes and the implementation and also people, riding more bike, because again, if you build it, they will come. But truth, just on the eyeball test, no stats behind this, I don't see a lot of people riding bikes, except a lot of kids are riding e-bikes now, which is a thing.
True.
Going back to e-bikes, by the way, I gotta stipulate.
I do have an e-bike.
You can afford e-bikes.
Yeah, they're expensive.
You know, like when you were talking about taking your kid to soccer practice, like it's not the same on a bicycle, which people can't afford. So
they're getting more affordable.
Yeah.
And you know, the kids on e-bikes is something that we got to figure out.
Yeah,
I mean, on Sunday, it was a gorgeous day.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing. It's like one of those.
Just January in LA, baby.
Gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, I could see Catalina.
Love it.
From Baldwin Hill, from the Culver Steps. I mean, it was amazing. Wow. And the San Bernardino Mountains with snow. I mean, it was incredible. And I was just like, hey, kids, like I had a thing in West Hollywood that I wanted to go to.
Yeah.
I was like, kids, you just want to like bike there? And so we biked 6 miles from West Adams, you know?
Good.
And I mean, look, there's a lot of like intersections that were pretty dangerous, but it was Sunday. It was a little chiller. We just took it slow and had a good time. I'm all for it. I take my bike a lot. I've been using it a lot more, because it's more efficient. It's better for my health, all kinds of reasons. And it gets me there faster and I don't have to pay for parking.
And I will say seeing the streets and the neighborhoods on foot or on bike.
It's a totally different experience.
Intimate.
And I absolutely love Ciclovia. Yeah. It's an incredible experience, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, seeing everybody together and the joy of that. And
I'm glad to see how people have embraced that, by the way. Good job, LA.
Yeah.
On that.
Thank you, LA.
But it's almost like a holiday. Like that, yeah. That's the thing where it's like, yay, today's the day I get to like ride my bike in LA.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. I agree. So I think, did you talk with Chris Torres?
No.
No? Okay. So we launched this initiative called the Festival Trail.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I was going to get to that separately. Okay, go on.
You know, we have this opportunity with the Olympics. We talked a lot about it.
Hold on. I got a break on this because this is a big side topic.
Oh, no. Okay.
So you mentioned that LAX already failed for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Okay, then we got the Super Bowl. Then we have the Olympics.
Yes.
So what is Los Angeles public transit going to look like for the Olympics and then tie in the festival?
I think it's going to – I mean, look, we were constructing things before we got the Olympics, and we will continue to construct things afterwards. Yeah. That's the genius about Measure R and Measure M. It wasn't like dependent upon these mega events.
Right.
We're like, we're going to commit to this. We have a new vision for Los Angeles. Fantastic. The Olympics gives us an opportunity to like shift the narrative. Cause it's like, what is the world? If you could stereotype LA in three words, what does the world see of us? Hollywood, palm trees, and traffic.
Okay, that's fair. I'll give you that.
My goal is that the world comes here and is like, wow, traffic's not that bad and the public transportation's pretty awesome. And I think that helps us.
2 years? 2 years?
That's
a reality?
That's when we launched the festival trail.
Yeah.
To accelerate the projects that we think we can get done.
This. Right, because that was intriguing.
Build community spaces where people can go out to celebrate. And this is about resiliency. And frankly, it's like our anti-Trump play because, you know, Angelenos are not only not going to be able to afford to go to like the opening ceremonies at SoFi, but they're not going to want to go there because it's going to be scary. I mean, we just saw what happened in Minnesota, right? And so immigrants are fearful and what happened here, right? In around LA and it's continuing to happen. And the attack on our families and our immigrant family. I mean, we both married immigrants, right? So if we can have these festival hubs, when we've constructed this incredible 2,000 square foot shade structure, where Angelenos can celebrate in the way that they love to celebrate with pupusas and, you know, and your favorite music. And you and Marquise Harris Dawson shared a love for classics, you know,
classic hip hop. Yeah.
Yeah. Hip hop. Right. You know, but like really do what Los Angeles does best, which is like arts, culture, food, and celebration authentically and not some like Hollywood version of it with Tom Cruise jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know people are going to go to Griffith Park. We know people are going to go to the Grove. But like if they can go to Van Nuys or if they can and have the best, you know, street taco they've ever had or South LA and gather there, we think that that's...
Well, how does it... So explain what the festival trail really is.
So it's these hubs, these celebration zones, these fan zones that we are working to launch. And we've piloted it. We've created the actual structure and put it in three communities.
Right.
And then it's these lines and how do we connect that? And so it's the transit lines, but also we see the LA River 51 miles from the West Valley to Long Beach as the spine of Los Angeles. And so let's talk about active transportation. I know that you have an issue with bike lanes, you know, taking lanes, traffic lanes from cars.
Right.
But if we can finish that 51 miles along the LA River, that gets it off of the car lane.
Fantastic.
And then you don't even have these conflicts at all with a car.
Right.
And then you can get over the hill or you could go down to Long Beach.
You're celebrating the river. It's just another bonus.
And we have $433 million for the downtown section, almost 9 miles to get that done. We need to get a couple sections done here in the Valley. We need some more money for that. But then you create these tributaries out from it that people can connect to. And then you create a real network and it's separate from the car network. Sometimes it'll, you know, there's some intersections, but like if we can start to think about separating these bike lanes with overpasses and that kind of stuff, then we don't need to have this like false narrative of like cars versus bikes, right? And we can have, I mean, you probably did a story on it. I don't know. I haven't seen all of your stories. I've seen most of them.
Right.
But, you know, Pasadena along the 110 had this bike highway that predated the actual highway.
Absolutely. Right? I think Dobbins was the name of the guy who set that up in the 1890s.
So we worked on this incredible.
Elevated bike highway is essentially what it was on the Arroyo Seco.
When we created this incredible 5.5 miles, converted a rail line to a bike lane in South LA. It's beautiful. It's amazing piece of infrastructure. But at every intersection, you have to cross with cars. So maybe the next step is we create overpasses. I mean, we need to think of ways to make it easier for people to use different modes. And again, like, I was talking with my friend. He was like, so how much do you drive versus like take public transit or bike? And I was like, well, I drive more than I take public transit, which
thank you for being
my supporters and my members are going to like, you know,
it's
rake me over the kales, but it's tough when you have three, I have three kids.
Yeah.
They don't go to school down the street. Right. Like it's just, we used to be a one car family. We're not anymore.
It's tough.
It's tough. Really tough, but we try really, really hard to be conscious about the decision. And that's all I'm advocating for. And that's how we shift the culture.
I think that's the biggest point that you have is even for folks like me that love our cars and love seeing the city through my driver window, my windshield, the mountains and taking pictures out of the car while I'm driving. Who said that? Not me. But I think that just making the effort.
Yeah.
To at least eliminate some trips via car. It's better. It is more responsible. It is environmentally conscious and that makes sense. And instead of looking at it as like everybody needs to shift and take public transit, like just when you can kind of eliminate the car trips.
100%. And we are 10 million people, 400 square miles for the city of LA, 4,000 square miles for the county.
Nuts. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I worked in the Antelope Valley.
Yeah.
Which is completely different than downtown LA, which is completely different from Malibu, which is completely different from where my colleagues live in Whittier.
Yeah.
Right. We have this incredible diversity. So to say that we're just going to be cars only or to say that we're just going to be mass transit and bikes only.
Yeah.
That just, it doesn't even compute with my vision of what Los Angeles is, which is diverse cultures, diverse foods, diverse music, amazing cultural experiences. You can go from the beach to the mountains and ski and surf in the same day,
correct,
right? Like you cannot do that anywhere else. So it's okay that we love our cars and, you know, and we have our low riders and we have our car culture, but we also have 2 million riders, you know, rides per day and people who bike everywhere as well. And I think that makes it cool. And I love that, like, you had this conversation with Michael Schneider and you love that you had this conversation with me.
Yeah, I appreciate because
that's kind of what it's about. And that's what we love about LA.
Testing season is right around the corner. And this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fest is happening now at Lowe's. Keep the spotlight on your yard with StayGreen Premium 2 Cubic Foot Mulch. 5 bags for $10. Plus, when you want more help indoors, get up to 40% off select major appliances that help you supercharge your chores. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid to 422 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Right?
That's a good way to sort of incorporate everybody and all the different experiences and cultures and methods of transportation. That makes sense.
And I think that's the issue, like, too, with like Michael and bike advocates is like they just want to feel a little bit more respected
right.
in some ways by like car riders and not seen as like this weird elephant that like, I mean, he is kind of, I mean, look, he's got that. Have you seen his bike? I mean,
I've seen when he used to be active on X apps.
And when he like puts his wife in there, like, I'm just like, wow, you are.
He's going for it. He's committed.
He is very committed. And we love that. And I love that about them. And he has taught me so much and I've appreciated that conversation with him. And he's I bike way more than I used to because of him and advocates like that.
Yeah.
But you know, like my vision is a multimodal vision.
I think that's reasonable. Yeah. I think. And two more things before I leave, and kind of, I don't want to say gimmicky, but what do you think of robo taxis and the air taxis that are supposed to be here by the Olympics? Does that fit into the Move LA vision and package of transport?
I have been, you know, I got like a code to check out Waymo early.
That was my say.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to give this thing a run for its money. So I like, it was like one of those insanely rainy days. And I was like, okay, we're taking this. I'm going to test this thing. And I gave it a run for its money.
Yeah.
I left my keys in there. I left my phone in there. They now figured out a way to unlock the trunk because I like figured out. And what impressed me when I took it and why I like it and my wife likes it, you know, there was a bike in the rain going the wrong direction on the street that like just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I find that the technology that they're using prioritizes the people inside the vehicle and outside the vehicle.
Yeah.
I can't say that about some other vehicles that I won't mention or companies, but I'll get in trouble. But we know who we're talking about probably.
Of course.
But like that, the fact that like when I was biking on Sunday with my kids and there was Waymos going by, they slowed down
of course.
To a slower speed. And they passed us, but they were slower. And I was like, that tells me that they're thinking about the human. And then my wife really likes it because every time she's a woman, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, not obviously, but like she's a woman.
Yeah.
And every time she gets into rideshare, she's like, you know,
of course,
I'm protective. And so having a driverless vehicle, she actually prefers it much more. So
I got to say, it's a Waymo rider on occasion. I've been in two, but I felt safer. At first, I was very leery, but I felt it's safer.
And very
I
was freaky like, when you go ahead. Yeah.
It's a wave of the future, which would help traffic, help transportation, clear off some of the roads.
Not necessarily help traffic because it's so nice that people are like, great, I'll do this more often.
But I think the cars are more proactive about being safety oriented.
Yes.
And maybe not efficiency oriented, but that'll turn into efficiency because when they're all thinking on the same.
Here's the thing that actually really sort of changed it for me is, you know, our cars are sitting out front right now. 95% of the time your car is parked.
Yeah.
It's a much like having a car as a service rather than ownership. I like that shift because we don't need to own these vehicles.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
Better for the pocketbook.
A lot better for the pocketbook. And, you know, our psyche is like tied up with it. Oh, yeah, I drive this car, right? Or, you know, but actually getting rid of that ownership is probably a good thing. Yeah. And so I like seeing that shift and Waymo's driving that. The flying robo-taxis, I cannot see an equity argument for it. Like, there's no...
That's
like,
coming, by the way, Mark.
I know they're coming.
Dawson confirmed that.
And I heard that.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, there's people talking to me about like, oh, well, you know, airplanes were very expensive when they first started. Now everybody uses them. But I'm very unconvinced that that is the solution. I mean, for me, the thing is like, we're Angelinos. We know like Kobe Bryant Kobe Bryant died
in it. And I'm sure a lot of people.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't have enough faith in that.
Same.
So still skeptical of that.
Also, lastly, water taxis, I heard, for the
Olympics. Oh, I love it.
Okay, so.
So I told you. I grew up in Bermuda.
Yeah.
Right? I moved there when I was 5, took the pink and blue bus, rode a motor scooter, I'm a retired scuba dive instructor. Yeah. All this crazy stuff. We had an incredible, water taxis, ferries that got you around the island, that's right? Sweet, yeah. And so when Janice Hahn was like, County supervisor, Arizona.
LA Royal.
I was like, so one of the ways we're changing culture, every September we have an event called SoCal Transit Month. We're doing it statewide now. And it's just about joyful events around the county. You should come and do one with me.
Just call me.
Where we just ride transit.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. And we do all kinds of, we had a bus fest, we had a train fest. Just a lot of fun.
Okay.
And by the way, and I forgot to bring it, I have a poster for you.
Oh.
Where we took out all the freeway. You're going to love this. We took out all the freeways from Los Angeles. And it's everything you can reach within 15-minute walking distance of a transit stop.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a mind blow.
I want to see that.
So that's part of SoCal. We give those out.
Perspective. These are
I'm going to get it to you. I'm going to bring you it. I forgot that we were doing it this week. Yeah. So I'll get one to you.
Okay. So,
but the whole idea is, go to Janice. I'm like, hey, Janice, let's ride the bus together. And she's like, Eli, I have a better idea. Come and ride a water taxi with me. And I'm like, okay, Janice. I thought it was just going to be like a half a dozen of us. Yeah. She invited 100 of her best friends. There was a mayor. There was a member of Congress. I mean, it was a lot of fun, but
they're good. They're effective.
I think between Malibu, Santa Monica, San Pedro, Long Beach.
Yeah.
Like it makes sense. I mean, and it's not out of the question in the Bay Area. They run water taxis all the time.
Wow.
Right? They have a whole ferry system in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Is it more ferry? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to picture it.
It's
how
great.
Big are the vehicles, the boats or whatever?
You know, fit 100, 200 people.
Okay, so they're like ferries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like you're hailing a taxi.
No.
It's like a proper, you and your wife.
You know, and okay. In the Bay Area, I mean, it's beautiful. You go onto the Bay Bridge. We took this water taxi, but it was, 100 people on a ferry.
So it's like Catalina. It's like the ferry you're taking.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah. But it would be a public service. That's the idea. Yeah.
Okay. And then lastly, what is on the immediate agenda? What are the next goals short term for Move LA? Uh-oh.
You're gonna kill me.
What?
2026. I mean, all the things that I talked about. We got to get this line to the heavy rail to the valley and the west side. A bunch of other lines that we're gonna advocate for. We launched our sibling organization, Move California, to advocate for transportation statewide. We're working on housing stuff. We want to do a clean air ballot measure. Because we have the worst air in the country. So how do we clean up the ports and goods movement and all these Amazon boxes that we're all ordering all the time, right? That's impacting our air quality. So we want to clean the air. That's a big priority for us. But the other sort of big transportation related priority is, I want a lot more express lanes in Los Angeles. And I believe, and there's a lot of support for this now, that we should convert those carpool lanes on the 405.
Yeah.
And take one of the, what they call general purpose lanes, the regular lanes. So you have two express lanes on either side. But hear me out.
Listen.
You pay if you want to go get faster. Again, not telling you take your car away, but I'm saying if you want to get 15 minutes faster, okay, pay $10 and you have those express lanes. There will still be 3 or 4 general purpose lanes, free lanes on the freeway. And think about this. Sepulveda is essentially a freeway. So you still have Sepulveda as well.
Oh boy.
And we're building a subway. So,
I will say, I know in New York they rolled out a program.
You're going to walk me out the door right now.
There was a program rolled out in New York, though, right?
It's been a year.
Yeah,
and
tell
it's been
me about it.
Wildly successful.
Yeah, that's what I
$9 to cross into Lower Manhattan,
right?
And that's different. It's a cordon, so anytime you cross a certain street, you have seen traffic reduced dramatically, air quality. noise. Have you been to New York? It's so noisy.
I mean, of course.
Here, like, you take away the, remember during COVID? You could hear the birds chirping, right? So noise has gone down. Traffic has gone down.
Cleaner.
Bus speeds have gone up. Air has been cleaner. And this was the kicker. And this is what the opposition was about.
Yeah.
They said, oh, this is going to kill business in downtown Manhattan.
Right.
The exact opposite. Their credit card receipts went through the roof because people were like, great, I can come out and walk and go to restaurants and spend money. It's been a huge boon for business in Manhattan. Wow. So it's had all these incredible, and I didn't even talk about the benefit of the money it's generated. It's generated several hundreds of millions of dollars.
That I know is crucial.
Now people, you know, I mean, look, people are like, oh, they just want to do this for the government to generate money.
Right.
The reality, yes.
Well, short answer is the government needs money for fixing and building our infrastructure.
Yes. Yeah. So we have to be honest about that.
Right.
But it is saving MTA and the subway system in New York. And it can help us with a lot of projects here. But the truth is, and all the research shows, that it actually makes your trip and my trip and everybody's trip a little bit faster because you can make a decision. Am I going to leave 20 minutes earlier and fight it out on the traffic like I always do? Or am I going to spend $10 extra and get there a little bit faster? And now you have that choice. And that actually makes the traffic flow a little bit better.
Isn't that? And I got to throw something.
And right now you don't have that choice. Your choice is 405 Beverly Glen, right?
What about Equitable? I mean, you're talking resources. Somebody could have 10 bucks. Say, sure, 10 bucks. Let's go. I'm taking the express lane. Somebody's like, I wish I could, but I need to put food on the table.
We actually have the best example of an Equitable express lane system. We have it on the 110 and the 10.
Okay.
And if you are a Life Rider, which is the program, the low income fare program for Metro, which means you get 20 rides free if you're in Life.
Yeah.
Per month. But if you are a Life participant, you can get a transponder for your car and you can go in the express lanes for free as well.
Okay.
Or if you have three or more people in your car, you have to get a special transponder. You have to do some work, but you can also go on those express lanes for free as well.
I've always wanted.
So there is that equity thing.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, look, and a lot of people say, well, what about, you know, the guy who has to drive his truck or the gal who has to drive their truck because they're a gardener or construction worker. Fine. They can sit in traffic. They can leave half an hour early and sit in traffic, which they're doing right now on the freeway. Or maybe they say to their clients, hey, you know, like I can be here 10 minutes, you know, I can be here half an hour earlier. Will you pay a little bit more so that I can take this express lane? So they can build it into their, you know, their model, you know, and look, it's not going to be, again, it's not for everybody.
Right.
But I'm not saying, there are some people who are saying anyone that crosses this line, you got to pay. That's different than an express lane.
Right.
So I think we should start with express lanes.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there. I know. That's the
all right. Nice ball like, drop at the end of this.
Thanks. View, but you aren't getting invited back.
No, but honestly, I appreciate you. A lot to think about. I mean, LA has a long way to go to have a fully equitable, accessible, efficient public transit.
Yeah.
We are making incremental progress. And thank you, Eli Lippman, for your advocacy for Move LA, executive director. Some ideas I agree with, some I don't, but that is a good thing that we can discuss.
Hell yeah.
We can have a dialogue. We can have a debate. I appreciate your passion. I appreciate your love for LA. And I thank you so much for coming on the show, man. Thank you.
And
all right, LA, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Roll out. SpringFest means more sun, more fun, and more free at Lowe's. Keep your yard in line with an additional free EGO 56-volt battery when you buy a select EGO mower, trimmer, or blower. Plus, keep landscaping fresh with Stay-Green 1-cubic foot garden soil, 5 bags for $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4-8 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.